present the news quiz with your chairman, Barry Took.
Hello and welcome to this week's quiz, which thunders open with this headline from the Times.
Britain wants teeth to be given to European court.
And David Hans Crum of Abingdon was the tooth fairy that brought us that. Time once again to meet our panel, who are all chomping at the bit. On my right is the editor of Private Eye, Ian Hislop, who will once more be propping up his team captain, Richard Ingrams. And facing them are the team from the rest of the world in the form of World Venture Scout Kate Adie and her pack leader, the man who knows more about cats and incidents with cats and news stories, Alan Corran. Round one opens with this disturbing item from My Weekly.
St. Mary's Centre, Lichfield, is celebrating its fifth anniversary with an open day which will give visitors the chance to take a close look at the day centre, which attacks 1,500 pensioners a week.
And our thanks to the one that got away, Mrs. F. Rennie of Stoke-on-Trent.
We're going to cheat. I'm not going to bring the cat in. No, we're not doing the cat.
Not doing the cat. The cat is out. I don't want any references to the cat. Or to the tube train.
Get the cat in if it kills you. Act of indecency.
Our first question, as ever, goes to the bright and shining Richard Ingrams. And that's a clue, Richard. Richard, can you tell us about a major change for change's sake?
We had Major. Major came up last time.
Yes, he's come up again.
He produces some new unit of currency every week.
That's right.
And last week it was a horrible £5 note. And the ECU, this funny euro token. This week it's a very, very small little 5p that's going to come in. And it'll fall out of the hole in your pocket.
How much is it worth?
It's worth 200,000 ECUs. Ah.
that's a lot clearer.
Yes, it all refers to the beautiful, lightweight new fivepence piece introduced last Wednesday by John Major, the beautiful, lightweight new Chancellor of the Exchequer. The coin was specifically designed to reduce the weight of cash in people's pockets, pretty much as Mr. Major was. Apparently, he was under pressure to reduce its weight as Treasury officials were getting too tired shoveling the old 5p pieces into British aerospace. Which brings us conveniently to Ian Hislop. Ian.
It's the aerospace question.
Thank
is it?
You, yes. Where is £44 million just water off a lame duck's back?
This is British Aerospace, Barry. And this is the famous Lord Suit, or Lord Young, as he used to be known, before he took up a very highly paid job at Cable and Wireless. But that's a completely different question. Like, why was he allowed to get away with it? This is another scandal involving Lord Suit. This was the payment of £44 million behind the back of the general public to British Aerospace in order to buy Rover, which was a very good deal for British Aerospace and a very bad deal for the general public. Therefore, the government nodded it through. I don't think there's a lot else to say,
no,
really.
No, listen, absolutely right.
So he got caught, which is very good news.
Well, caught is a kind of an odd phrase to use at this connection.
He got nicked, which was...
Oh, that's all right. Yeah, it's got that. No,
he asked for a cat to be taken into consideration.
Did he say cat?
Yes. I thought Rover was a cat. Doesn't have to be a dog, you know.
The answer is, of course, British Aerospace, which has been ordered to hand back to the government the £44.4 million worth of sweeties they got for buying a Rover car. British Aerospace, however, say they can't, as they're still waiting for its delivery. All of which comes as a great embarrassment to Lord We Give Air Miles Young and Nicholas Would You Buy a Used Car Industry from this man, Ridley. At which point, let's break off for an interesting item on the front page of the Greenford, Northolt and Southall Recorder.
Hundreds of angry demonstrators gathered on the steps of Ealing Town Hall while the new Tory administration axed around 70 jobs. The council voted to axe all 20 posts in the Race Equality Unit, all 14 in the Women's Equality Unit, and 1.5 gay and lesbian advisers.
Mrs. B. Weatherly of Hayes was sufficiently concerned by that to send it our way. Kate Adie, welcome back to the News Quiz. We crossed the Atlantic for your first question. Kate, Who's been paying lip service to U-turns?
This is not the Trump question. This is not the 6,000 suicidal penguins question either, which I have been personally researching as well. That hasn't come up, no. So let's go to something very near 6,000 suicidal penguins. President Bush.
Right.
President Bush, who decided, saying, watch my lips, said to the great American public, no higher taxes, some time ago.
That's right.
Turned around last week and said, fooled you. Higher taxes.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. It's George, watch my lips so you won't notice the crossed fingers behind my back. Bush, who has reneged on repeated promises not to increase taxes. Bush is also the man, listeners will remember, who promised that America would do well in the World Cup. There'd be nothing to worry about if Dan Quayle took over. And that he found Geoffrey Howe more amusing than the two Ronnies. To end round one, Alan Corran, your useful, clueful purgatory. A brief musical item.
Love is give and take, but we don't take away. Love is give and take, but we don't take away. Take away.
Not the most complex lyric I've ever heard. It was Take Away by Dolly Parton and Porter Wagoner. And your question is, Alan, why might those who could murder a takeaway be on the receiving end?
I think this is about the abuse of cats. If you wander into any one of the 7 million takeaways around this country, you could very well end up with a cat burger or cat furter or anything filled with gross and dangerous meat. And this will make you very ill indeed.
Did I hear you say cat furter?
Yes, a cat furter.
I must say that is the most amusing word.
The infection is spread by rats and mice, which are allowed to go unchallenged now that cats are being used for other purposes by the Great British public, especially on the Central Line.
I told you we wouldn't mention the cat tonight.
Can't mention it. Last mention of the cat.
It's all because of a survey from the Institution of Environmental Health Officers, which claims that eating a takeaway gives you a 1 in 5 chance of food poisoning. In future, the signs promising food for consumption off the premises will now have to include all the other fatal diseases on offer. The only people likely to benefit from all this are the home delivery pizza chains who are abandoning their motorbikes and letting the pizzas walk round by themselves. And lo and behold, we've come to the end of the first round, and the scores, as are traditional on these occasions, are 4-4. Well done, everyone. Before we enter round two, we hear our final word from Mr. John Major, who wins this week's Mixed Metaphor Prize for this statement overheard on Wednesday's PM programme.
There are too many lemmings in the city trying to read economic tea leaves.
I like that.
Which takes us neatly on to another man with just as firm a grip on events, Richard Ingrams. Richard, a broadcasting query for you. What questions will be asked if Auntie goes all soft?
Well, I think this man, Bert, who's something big in this organisation, the BBC, is rather worried about all these people like Sue Lawley, to name but one, asking very rude questions of people, of Mrs. Thatcher, and being very disrespectful.
Like, good evening, Prime Minister, how do you do your hair so beautifully? Yeah. That sort of thing is going to stop.
Redhead annoys Mrs. Thatcher very much.
Jeremy Paxman annoys her a lot as well.
Right.
Yes. I expect Kate, what's-her-name, does.
Yes.
What is that woman called?
Cat Adia. Sorry.
Absolutely right, Richard. This all concerns new BBC guidelines for interview techniques designed to encourage sharp and considered, but always courteous, political interviews. Mr. Burt denies he's given in to critics, but plans to monitor subversive elements like Sue McGregor and Brian Redhead. Meanwhile, on question time, Peter Sissons will circulate with the nibbles. Panorama would be fronted by Gloria Hunniford. and call Nick Ross will be replaced by call Keith Chegwin. Ian Hislop, your question. Who in the West End is praying for a miracle?
This is Bernadette, a musical about the life of the late Bernadette Devlin. The famous saint of all Ireland.
I thought it was about Jeff Bernadette, famous drunken journalist.
Being unwell and having to go to Lourdes to dry out.
Exactly.
I think that's probably what it is, isn't it?
I think it probably better be. I think it is the writers and backers of the People's Musical Bernadette, about a naive girl who has a vision of someone buying a ticket. The show has attracted 2,500 small investors, of whom only 500 kept their faith long enough to attend the first night. And we pause briefly for this dramatic piece from the East Anglian Daily Times.
A brutal soccer gang fled when they came face to face with Lady Maris Pat Hodgson in her civic sequins. The Bradford Maris helped a defenseless youth on the ground being kicked by a Leeds United gang. She waited with him until PC's Kevin Brown and Derek Briggs took over.
And many thanks to Colin Sheed of Ofton for sending us that. Kate Adie, a musical clue, and your turn to get up and dance to this chart-busting sound.
In my dreams I have a plan, how to be a wealthy man. I wouldn't have to work at all, I'd fool around and have a ball.
Fool around and have a ball.
Fool around and have a ball.
Money, 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 money. Must be funny in a rich man's
world. I'd work all night, I'd work all day for money, money,
money. Kate, another transatlantic question for you. Who's rationing the last of the big spender?
Spare a thought for a tragic man that discovered he's down to his last $3 million a year. This is an awful state to be in. Apparently it means, I haven't done the sums, a mere $250,000 per week. That's all he's got left.
Poor old Captain Bob.
It is one Donald Trump, an American sort of millionaire.
Can I just say that 3 days ago, I was in the Trump Tower in New York, in the foyer.
What were you doing there? This is the new style of BBC interviewing questions.
I met the cat quite by accident.
It's all to do with Donald Trump's 50 bankers who arranged a £250,000 a month pocket money allowance for their over-flexible friend. In return, Mr. Trump has to clean their cars, promise to keep his room tidy, and do a daily paper round, roughly the size of Canada. Alan Corran, why might the face that launched 1,000 ships be the Happy Eater?
Very interesting.
Helen?
It doesn't do with Helen itself, it's to do with Troy.
Give us a
happy
clue.
Eater.
Give us a clue,
Squire. I've just given them the answer, actually. They don't seem to have penetrated.
What sort of newspapers have you been reading? They clearly don't read the same as us.
I don't read them. I'll get sent this.
A happy eater. I mean, this is not the chain of happy
eaters.
Yes,
it is the chain.
They've got one in Troy.
Ah.
It's horses. It's about taking horses to Europe to eat them.
No, it isn't about anything.
On today's news.
Horse burgers.
Thousands. No, British horses are going to end up in Troy.
There isn't such a place as Troy. It was destroyed many years ago. It's all in the
That's
book.
The latest news from Richard Ingham's.
Kate Adie was there.
It wouldn't stop
people. To the ground.
It wouldn't stop people like Happy Eater from setting up there. No. They didn't sell anything to anyone anywhere, surely.
Well, you've circled around this, but let me tell you what it's all about. It's all because of a man called Iman Wilkins, and a notable Dutch author, clearly not that notable over here, after considerable research, is convinced that all the references in Homer's Iliad place the site of ancient Troy at the junction of the A11 and A604 outside Abingdon, roughly where a Happy Eater restaurant now stands. It's just on the left by the Wooden Horse Stud Farm.
Somehow that slipped by my trawl this week.
This is by the same author who earlier discovered the Hanging Garden Centre of Babylon and the Colossus of Rhodes, now renamed the M25. currently working on a theory that the city of Atlantis was never in fact lost, just renamed Telford. At the halfway point, the score's quite interesting because Alan and Kate are 7, but Richard and Ian are in the lead with 8. On into round 3 now with this extract from the obituary pages of the Barnsley Chronicle.
Harris, Mary, fond memories of a very kind lady who we will sadly miss. From Stanton Rifle and Pistol Club.
That touching item was sent to us by a suitably anonymous listener. Richard, your weekly French publicity stunt question. Why was the Champs-Élysées all ears?
Ears of corn.
Are we?
Yes. Well, this is a funny... there's a publicity stunt by the French farmers again, having put up this giant wireless, which Wells was talking about. They brought in a lot of wheat, filled up the Champs-Élysées. We did it in London with this Queen Mother thing. They filled up Whitehall with lots of goats and horses and other animals.
Jerry Hall was there as well.
All parading for the Queen Mother's delectation.
Not all other animals. Some animals were noticeably missing, being caught on the central line and unable to get out.
I don't know about that. Anyway, that's the French have different ideas. Of course, they have no Queen Mother of France.
It's because French farmers thought they could improve their image to city dwellers this week by transforming half a mile of Paris's busiest thoroughfares into a wheat field. As a mark of mutual respect, a group of Parisian commuters have started ploughing an 8-lane highway through the vineyards of Champagne. And now let's take in a couple of headlines. Here's a heading spotted on the front page of last week's Chichester Observer.
Nelson to press for better sea defences.
Well, Monday's Guardian had...
U-turn likely on high-speed rail.
Thanks anyway go to A.G. Poynton of Dunster who sent them. And Kate, you're still stuck with America, I'm afraid, with your third question. In which city is the mayor high and not just in the polls?
In Washington.
Sure.
In a court at the moment, there sits a man who is accused of having a busy time over the last few years. He appears to have been not quite of this earth, but way above it. And also with lots of other people, doing things with his nose.
Huh.
His name is Mayor Barry, and his nose has been frightfully busy putting itself near a white substance known as cocaine. Somehow they noticed it in Washington.
Absolutely right. It's all about the trial of Washington's popular mayor, Marion Barry, who's been hearing a procession of witnesses suggesting that he spent most of his time having sex with more drugs in his body than a branch of boots. And asked at the start of the trial how he pleaded, guilty or not guilty, Mayor Barry replied, mellow. Alan Corran, a tasteful one for you to get your teeth into. Alan, what was black and white and dead all over?
It's not Pavarotti, is it? I think this is the second most unsavoury animal story of the week. I think this involves 6,000 penguins on Macquarie Island. There is really no known solution so far as to why they actually went mad and stomped one another to death. It looked as though a bomb had gone off in Moss Bros.
Right.
Alternatively, they may all have been nuns extremely distressed at the end of Bernadette, who decided to go to Tasmania and end it all.
We understand that copies of The European had been deposited on this particular island, which may have had something to do with the demise of these birds.
Well, it concerns the 6,000 penguins, or 7,000 if you read today, who mysteriously stampeded to their death in the now uninhabited Macquarie Island. So presumably they read today. No explanation has so far been produced, although investigators have noticed that David Bellamy was filming on the other side of the island. And at the end of round 3, the scores are funny reversal, because Richard and Ian have now scored 11, but Alan and Kate have leapt into the lead with 12. Round 4 opens with this announcement in the Great Yarmouth Advertiser.
Good home needed for 3-year-old castrated Doberman dog. Perfect in every way, needs garden desperately.
dear me. And Dee Barrett of Norfolk thought moved to send that one our way. And now the final question for Richard Ingram, preceded by this clueful musical treat.
Mr. and Mrs., be nice to each other. Mr. and Mrs., you gotta love one another. Think of the future.
Radio 2 taking you through the night.
In the company of Tony Hatch and Jackie Trent, singing Mr. and Mrs. And Richard, bearing that in mind, in future, why might children soon be playing mummies or daddies?
Is it one of those reports that have come out showing that 800% of people aren't married anymore and that sort of thing?
That's the general run of it, yes.
It's all to do with the government being so keen on the family, as a result of which the whole institution has crumbled.
Some of the cabinet are so keen on it, they've all had two or three families.
This is about the report by the Family Policy Study Centre, which claims that by the year 2000, half of all British children will not have married parents. Will not have... will have parents who are not married, I think is probably a better way of expressing that. Ian, who cleaned up his act just by leaving the stage?
Cleaned up his act by leaving the stage. Kate Adey. No, she wants to answer it.
My colleague and I believe this is a gentleman called Mr. Davidson.
Jim Davidson.
Yes.
We do know about this.
Oh.
He was performing to an audience and suddenly saw these little kiddies sitting in the front row. And he said, I can't go on. I can't tell my BBC jokes. With his little kiddies, and he walked off.
That's a very touching tale.
Yeah.
Is it
a touching tale? It's concerns, or probably doesn't, Jim Davidson, the comedian who spotted some children in the audience of his late night show at the King's Restaurant Theatre, Birmingham, and promptly went home after suffering an acute attack of taste. But afterwards, his management had promised it won't happen again. And now some news just in from The Times.
A 14-foot hole in Wimbledon Broadway caused by a burst water main will disrupt traffic during the tennis championships this week. The hole is said to be big enough to swallow a double-decker bus. Merton Borough Council has urged all visitors to use public transport.
And our sports correspondent there was Valerie Willard of Prince's Risborough. Kate Adey, back on home territory at last with your final question. Whose prayers wins in SAS country?
Oh, I think these are a group of ladies who found they had neighbours who weren't exactly the same as them. While they were doing whatever nuns do, very quietly, they found that sort of people popped over the wall who were wearing balaclavas and had blackened faces and kept shouting things like, freeze or shoot, things like that. They discovered they lived next to the SAS.
They can't have shouted freeze if we shoot if they're the SAS. They'd have just fired, wouldn't they?
Steady on.
Look, yeah, I mean, we're not impugning their Majesty's arms.
Let's drop that one.
Anyway, these nuns found it all just a bit too much to have shoot to kill coming in the middle of second the Angelus and things like that, so they moved.
Absolutely right. It all refers to the 20 nuns, sisters of poor Clare's in Hereford, who are selling up because their convent is flanked by the SAS headquarters on one side and a new housing estate on the other. The problems stem from the noise of gunfire, late-night transport manoeuvres, and the constant shelling of the stained glass windows. And according to the nuns, the SAS are just as bad. Alan, the confectionery question is yours. Who stopped one and bought it?
Ah, very nearly a cat question. This is about a song called Yankee Doodle Dandy.
Right.
Made famous in my youth by James Cagney, who was also famous for shooting people. There was an ice cream salesman whose van played I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy. He played it for 2 years. And eventually this got on the wick of a man who was a retired environmental health officer. And because of that, kept a gun. Whenever they come round to my house, because the nuns are coming over the wall and shooting, they always say, oh, we have to put a report on this for 6 months, and you never hear anything again. But anyway, this environmental health officer took this gun and chased the ice cream van down the street.
I think that's about the top and bottom of it. Someone got 12 months suspended. By yes. what, I don't yes, know.
Yes,
but...
yes, yes. This is the tale of noise pollution campaigner David Ludlow, incensed by the chiming of Yankee Doodle Dandy from the visiting ice cream van, who shooed away the offending vendor at gunpoint. In court, he claimed he'd only used an imitation pistol because the van only sold imitation ice cream. Before we pack up and go, can I ask our panellists to dazzle us all with their brilliant clippings? Richard, have you brought along anything interesting?
Mrs. V. Coombe has sent in this advertisement from the Groniad, which I thought was quite funny. Burnham Market, roomy cottage in open country, sleeps 24 bicycles.
Very good. Ian?
This is a letter from the Community Charge Registration Officer of Wakefield District. It says, Dear Sir or Madam, the enclosed notice is required by law, and I have to send one to everyone who is liable to pay the community charge from 1st of April 1990. If you have not received this notification by 31st December, please contact my office at the above address.
We believe you, we believe you. Kate, what have you brought for us?
In the Birmingham Post of the 27th of June, from Mr. Hogg, an assistant manager for the Woolwich Building Society. The number of repossessions we've had in the West Midlands in the past 3 years, I could count on the fingers of one hand, no more than half a dozen.
And finally, Alan, what have you brought for us?
I'm not going to do the one about the cat on the central line. Despite, well, it's one wonderful end line. When the judge discharged the jury after they had convicted this man... who owned the cat on the central line. The judge said to the jury, I very much hope you'll never have to try anything like this again. I think you should have said that to the man. Anyway, but as I'm not doing that one, I shall do one, a simple, innocent one, that will fall in line with the Burt memorandum from the Yorkshire Post. A Harrogate company was fined £1,000 with £260 costs yesterday for selling chunky chicken breasts with only one chunk.
Thank you very much indeed. I can now reveal the final scores, which are Alan and Kate, 16, but amazingly, Richard and Ian, this week's winners, with 17.
Well done. Impossible! Impossible! Retrial!
And we bow out with this,
in my defense.
We bow out with this curious crime report from the Daily Mirror, saved up for some years and sent to us by L. Lane of Essex.
Four other people interviewed by police as potential witnesses in the case have since died. One was a prostitute known as Vodka Pat McLean, whose hacked-up body was found by a roadside last year. A male witness was stabbed to death, another was shot, and a third died from drink. Scotland Yard said last night they were satisfied there were no suspicious circumstances.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Richard Ingrams, Ian Hislop, Kate Adie, and Alan Corran. The chairman was Barry Took, and the news was read by me, Brian Perkins. The programme was written by John Langdon, and the producer, Amanda Iannucci.